Amen and amen. You know, this whole idea of Real Family Matters has, like many of our message series here, is striking right at the reality of where we all live, because we all have family and we all have real family matters. And the truth is, God wants to work in our families, and He wants us to be families where He is the center. Amen? And that's what we want, really. And sometimes there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be. In fact, there always is, and what Jesus has for us. And our goal in this series is try to close the gap and try to draw closer to what Jesus has for us for our families. And one of the things that is important in our families, what real faith-following, Jesus-following families do, is we speak blessing in our home to one another. That's what healthy family does. We acknowledge the presence and power of God in people in our family, and we call that out. We speak that. We encourage others with it. We say things like, I see God at work in you. I know God loves you. God is for you. He is working in your life. Man, we need those reminders. Amen? Anybody in the room need that kind of reminder from time to time? Yeah, I do. And I need it from the people around me. And I want to hear it from God. And He is speaking that. In fact, God the Father spoke those things to His Son while He was here on earth. There are two times in the life of Jesus where God the Father spoke audibly for Him to hear. And what He said was, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father spoke a blessing to the Son. If Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it in our families? Amen? We need to hear those words from the people that matter the most to us. It's interesting that when you look at those two times that happened for Jesus, He was about to go into a new season in His life, and He needed to hear the Father's blessing. The first was when Jesus was baptized, and coming up out of the water is when He heard that voice. He heard the Father speak. Because right after that, Jesus was about to face some of the greatest temptation He had ever faced in His life. And to go into that season, He needed His Father's blessing. He needed to hear it. And the Father knew that, and He did it. The second was on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a time when Jesus was on a mountaintop with some of His disciples, and He revealed His glory to them. And there on the mountain, those other disciples with Jesus heard those words again. Because Jesus was about to enter another season in His life and ministry that would ultimately take Him to Jerusalem, that would ultimately take Him to the cross. It just speaks of the power and the necessity of hearing blessings, especially from a father, but from notable people in our life, to remind us and assure us of God's blessing in our life. We need those. Jesus needed those. And they need to happen in line with even certain seasons of our life. Let me draw some things up here on the board. Grab a piece of paper, pen, or something, because you're going to want to get this down today. Let's talk about four seasons that happen in our lives. And each one of these are times when we need to hear God's blessing. Childhood is one of those. All the way from the time in the womb till the time that a child enters adolescent years. The second season is, we'll shorten it and just put the teen years. Man, I know sometimes the teen years get a bad rap, you know. Man, those troublesome teen years. I get it, I understand it, but those are powerful years. Because you remember it if you are now past it. Those are significant times. And what was happening is you were learning who you were. You were about to own your identity. Up until that point, a child is doing pretty much what their parents tell them. But in the teen years, it's important to know, and it's important to help our young people be able to understand and own who they are and walk in this new identity, because you need to release them from those years as they enter the younger adult years. And just for everyone's benefit in the room, we'll push that all the way up to about 50, if that's okay. Yeah? Yeah? We'll just put ourselves all in that category if you're in that. I'm past that, actually. So if you're in that, you can fit right here. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then there's another group that's me and some other folks in the room, the older adults. Right? Yeah, getting close to home here. Reva's got a birthday coming up. 60 tomorrow, right? Come on, join the club. It's good. So what's interesting, in every one of these seasons of life, there's a very significant need to know the blessing. Because at each phase, whether you realize it or not, you are asking a question. A child, they don't understand all that's happening, but this is what's happening inside. They are asking, do I belong? That's an important question. It's written on the DNA of a child's mind and heart. And it actually begins in the womb. Do you know that a baby begins to hear sounds at 18 weeks? Are they able to comprehend all of those sounds and know what they mean, understand the words? No. But let us remember that you and I are also spirit. In fact, your identity is a spirit, because one day your body will die and your spirit will continue. Right? So in the womb, guess what you have there? A spirit also. And that spirit is able to perceive emotions, feelings that are being felt by the mother, as well as the environment they are in. A baby in the womb can sense rejection or acceptance. A baby in the womb can sense tension or peace. A baby in the womb can sense love or hate, whether they're wanted or unwanted, whether they will belong or whether they are a bother. That's why it's so important for parents to speak words of blessing while the baby is still in the womb, because their spirit is very much alive and is understanding things on a level that go beyond just words and thoughts. It's important that that happen in the womb. It's important that happen at birth. That blessing are spoken to a child at birth, because they are now even more alert. And into childhood, it's important that all of the significant figures in their life continue to remind them and speak to them words that say, I love you. You are so welcomed in this family. We prayed for you. You belong. God has a purpose for you. I'm excited for what awaits you, what God has in store for you. He loves you so much. Are there still going to be days of disciplining that two-year-old? Yes. But having the blessing will give context to the discipline. And it's important that that is spoken. It's important. The Bible tells the story of Rachel and Jacob. She was pregnant, and the Bible says that she was having difficulty in her labor, and the midwives were trying to assist her and encourage her. But the Bible says that while she was giving birth, she was dying. And in her last breaths, she gave a name to her son, Ben-Oni, which means son of my sorrow. In that moment, in her pain, she was speaking a curse upon her baby. The Bible says she died, but her husband in that moment recognized the power of speaking a blessing, and he changed the baby's name in that instant and said, no, his name shall be Benjamin, son of my strength. He knew the importance of blessing upon a baby and speaking, because we all are wondering, do I belong? And you help instill that in those early childhood years. And it's important that we speak those words. During the teen years is another question that is asked, and it's, do I have what it takes? Does a student ever sit down and say, I'm going to ask myself, do I have what it takes? No, but if you remember your teen years and teens today, I'm sure you remember you're asking the question when you look around and you look at other people and there's a whole lot of comparison that creeps into your mind. Do I have what it takes to be as popular as them? Do I have what it takes to be as cool as them? Do I have what it takes to be successful? Do I have what it takes to be liked by her, by him? Do I have what it takes to hear God? Do I have what it takes to be used by God? And that's why it's so important in our lives that we speak blessing to our teenagers. They're asking some significant questions, some important questions, and we can be the ones who help answer that. That is why we have a student ministry here to help answer that question for students today. It's not just a time filler. It's not just another cool thing for a church to do. No, we are answering the question that's written on the heart of every student. And we're answering with what God says about them. Yes, in Christ, you have everything that you need for life and godliness. Yes, God has a purpose for your life. Yes, you are uniquely crafted. Yes, he is the author and your authority, and he has a story. Amen? So what about those young adults, those 18 to 50, yeah? They're asking a different question. They're asking the question, do I have significance? Do I matter? Does all the work, all the time, all the prayer, all the tears, is it worth it? Is there a purpose? Do I have a part? I mean, at 20 to 50 in there, you've kind of already experienced some life and you recognize some of it didn't go the way you hoped and some of it was really some bad decisions and you're wondering, can that be redeemed? Can that be used? Do I have a purpose? Is really all it is get up, go to work, come home, sit in the chair, go to bed, rinse, and repeat? Is that all there is? Is it wake up, raise a child, cry, be frustrated, put them to bed, get up, do it again? Is there something significant to this? Yes! God has a purpose. God has a massively big, unique purpose for your life. And you might have walked 40 years and never have known it, but God can still write your story. And in fact, he's writing your story and he can show you your story. And write that story in your life. What about us older people? What about this last group down here? We've done ask a lot of questions. Maybe we didn't get the answers we wanted, but here's a question that if you're 50 plus, rings in the hearts. Am I still needed? Anybody? Come on. It's true. It's a question that we ask. We don't have the strength that we used to. We can't stay up as late as we once did. Sure don't get up as early as well, maybe we do. I don't know about you, but you see all of a sudden another group that's got a lot more energy than you do, and you wonder, okay, is it shelf time for me? Am I just off the clock? This world's gotten all whack anyway. I mean, nobody wants to hear from an old guy like me kind of thing. Those are the questions that start running around in older people's minds. And for that reason, it's important that we speak blessing to those older people as well. Say, oh, you're necessary. You're valuable. You had the experience of faith in your life. You've walked down the road. You know where Jesus works. You know how he relates. Yes. You are desperately needed. You're needed in your family. You're needed in your friends and you're needed in your church. Every one of these age groups is essential and necessary. Every one of these groups needs to know that God has created you. He is your author and He is your authority. I want to read a statement that I think is what we're all longing to hear, and it is actually what God says to us, no matter what stage you're in. God says, I love you. You mean everything to me. Your worth is seen in the gift of my son for you. You belong. You're supposed to be here. I've created you with a very specific purpose. I created your gender, skin color, eyes, and I love everything about them. You were no surprise to me. I knew you long before your mother knew you. I planned you to be on this earth at this time and in this place. I have a purpose for you that no one else can fulfill. You are the place that I've chosen for my spirit to dwell, my blessings to be known, my power to be seen, my love to be experienced, my ability to redeem even the most painful events of your life and use them for your good. You are my treasure, and I have only good for you. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. And we need to hear it often and in fresh ways from the people who mean the most to us. And when a family gets it, then a family becomes a powerful place to raise up new generations and for life to exist. That's real family. But I will be honest with you that the enemy has a message as well. And it sounds nothing like the blessing of God. But sadly, when I tell you what it is, you're going to say that that sounds familiar to some things you've heard. Here's what the enemy says to all of us. You are a nothing, a nobody. You have no value. There's something terribly wrong with you. You are defective. You don't belong. You are ugly, ignorant, and incapable. You're a mistake. Nobody wanted you to be born. Your skin is the wrong color. Your gender is wrong. You're the product of someone's lust. You're not loved and you never will be. You aren't wanted. You shouldn't be here. You have no purpose, no destiny. You're just a mass of tissue taking up space. You're unproductive, inadequate, and incapable of ever being blessed by God. Sadly, we all know those words far more often, I'm afraid, than the words of blessing from God. Because the enemy speaks them. Some people have spoken them to us. And we've even said them ourselves, about ourselves. And for this reason, Jesus came to set us free. He came to remove the curse upon us that our own sin brought on us. He came to set captives free. He came to open blind eyes so that we might walk in the blessing and be free from the curse. Our message title today, Break Spoken Family Curses. Amen. Now, I will say I've read a book recently, almost finished with it. I keep messing with my mic. Are we okay here? We good? Okay. I'm working my way through a book right now that if you read it, you're going to hear some of the things that I'm talking about. It has opened my eyes to some things that are changing me even. The book is called The Power of a Parent's Blessing. Now, if you're a parent, great. If you're not a parent, great, because you came from a parent. Whoever you are, this book will benefit you. They go into talking about 7 different seasons, not 4. And they go much more in depth about what happens when you don't hear the blessing of God in that season, and then how to do that in your own home. If you don't have children, this book is still for you. Okay? So there's your reference on the side, The Power of a Parent's Blessings by Craig Hill. You can get it on Amazon like I did. So today, I want us to think about how to break spoken curses in our life. I know in some homes that actually did happen. You heard some of those terrible, horrible statements that I just read. I know in some homes you'd say, but that never happened. I didn't hear any of that from my parents. But I would ask, did you hear intentional spoken blessing? I never heard cruel words from my parents, but I never heard the godly words of blessing from my parents. I'm not speaking ill of my parents. They're doing what they knew to do, what they had handed to them. And so I didn't have those things spoken to me. They were very loving. It wasn't until later in my dad's life that he even began to demonstrate his faith. I mean, in the last 15 years of his life. I'm grateful for all those. But today I want us to look at a Bible character who I believe was actually born in a very toxic, dysfunctional family who had every reason to end up nothing like he ended up. He had every reason to end up on the streets, dead, abused by the enemy. But instead, he became a powerful, significant force. He became, in the scripture, one of the most clear pictures of the Lord Jesus. That person is David. David was, I believe, the cursed boy who became a blessed king. Now, this journey for me has been a little bit of a new one to understand David in the light about which I'm about to tell you. And I'll be honest up front, Scripture tells us about David, obviously, but there's some gaps that we have in the David story. And so history tells us some things about David. What I tell you today is one of those views. But I believe it's true because of some scripture I'll share with you, and I'll prove what I believe is the truth. But let me start with some things that we know about David. We know that David was born into a family that had seven brothers. Now that's a lot of people to begin with, right? And he comes in as the youngest. If you grew up in a family of a lot of kids, you know that can be a daunting task. We know that his dad's name was Jesse, but we don't know who the mom was necessarily. Scripture doesn't give us that name. We also know that David ends up with two sisters, and the scripture gives us a name of his father. The father's name is Nahash. But what we don't have of these two daughters is their mother's name. But what we know is that David is born into this family, and he's born young. Now, here's where history comes in. And I'm going to attempt to prove from Scripture that I believe this is actually true. It's believed that after having these seven sons, that this mother dies. This leaves Jesse single. But over here is Nahash and this woman. History records that they got together even while she was still married to him. And out of their being together is born a child named David. So now, you're not just the youngest of seven, you're the youngest of nine, and you're born into a toxic situation where these two and these seven are already at a little bit of odds with one another, and now you come in with a little bit of tension between these two and a whole lot of tension between these seven. Can you imagine being born into that situation where there's just born tension? Where there's just a little bit of, I can't believe this happened. Can you believe this? This baby here? Now let me show you some scriptures that I think verify this, and some events from David's life. We know that there comes a time when a new king is needed in the land, when Saul is going to be replaced, and Samuel goes at the direction of God to Jesse to find the new king. And the Bible tells us that when Samuel came, Jesse brings his sons out, but who does he leave out? David. He brings 7 sons, but he does not bring David. It wasn't just because he was young and a punk. It's because Dad just a little bit uncertain if that would even fit of someone that God could choose and use, I believe. And so David is left out, but he brings his other 7 sons. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel 16:10 that Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Jesse was just a little bit caught off guard, like, "What are you talking about? These are my only sons. Really, really." But there weren't. There was another. And he brings David. And Samuel chooses and says, "This is the one." Sometimes when you have a curse spoken over you as you're the oddball, you're the one who came after, you're the one that came because of an affair, you're the one that came out of lust, you're the one that wasn't supposed to be here, you can live with that mark on your life. You can live with that curse upon you. But it does not disqualify God from using you, because God chose David in this moment. Amen? We also know, I think this is true, because later we find that there's a giant named Goliath who is attacking from the land of the Philistines. And they've all gone to war. The 7 have gone, and David doesn't get to go. And we've always thought, he was so young and scrawny. Well, you look at this, and when David shows up in 1 Samuel 17:28, his brother says to him, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart." "Thanks, big bro. I just showed up here and you're already speaking curses on me. You're judging my motives, calling me out, telling me I don't belong here. Curses spoken on you." And this is the family, the toxic family that David is growing up in. His birth is cursed. His size is cursed. His age is cursed. They're telling you don't even belong here in this family. We know this because David would later write in Psalm 69, verse 8, "I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children." Do you see how David separates them? You see why I believe this is actually what happened in the story here? And here's David in the middle of a toxic situation, and people who keep hearing curses upon curses, and their family rejects them, and they say awful things about them. You'd think those people would never amount to anything because all they hear is curses, but we know this is not the case for David. Something happens. But here is David caught in this very painful, toxic, dysfunctional family setting. I believe we also know this because of what happens in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, David's writing again. This time it's because of his own sin. David has had an affair, and David has had a man murdered, and David is repenting before the Lord, and he's crying out, and he's broken. It could be that he was just following a family curse that was on them. He's doing what happened to have him even exist. And David writes in Psalm 51 and says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Do you see how this all just fits together? I used to read that verse and think, David was just talking about the fact that he was born with a sin nature. I don't think that was the case. I think he was actually talking about his presence, his birth. Do I belong? I don't know. I came from an affair. I came from evil. I came out of lust. Me? A purpose? Me? A reason? Me? Blessing? No. And when you live not hearing blessing, it has an effect on your life. When you don't get the questions answered, it has an effect on your life. I want to show you just a few of what happens in someone's life when they don't hear the blessing. Number one, you'll believe you don't belong. You will have this overarching sense about your life of, I shouldn't be here. I'm wrecked at my core. I shouldn't even exist. And you'll see yourself as defective. Man, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. I know God and I know He loves me, but there's something wrong with me. I'm messed up. I don't belong here. I'm the product of evil. There's no reason I should even be here. And you end up with a whole host of self-hatred thoughts. You just punish yourself. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too ugly. I'm not smart. I have no way of accomplishing, achieving, and you just hate on yourself all the time because you never heard and received the blessing that was meant for you. Did you know that even some behavioral issues are linked back to a child never getting the blessing? There's a spirit of resentment inside. A spirit of just tension of, I shouldn't be here, I'm a product of evil, I'm no good, I'm defective, and it just boils up in just general resentment. You don't even know where it comes from, but you don't like this person, you don't like that person, you're mad at this one, you hate this one, and it just burns within you. You're desperate for worth. You just long for someone to tell you that you matter, someone to tell you that you belong, someone to tell you that you are loved, and you can't get it anywhere because you never got it, and you believe a curse upon your life because of how it all came to pass. And as a result, you start attaching yourself to anybody who will show you the least amount of attention. Do you ever wonder why some girls are attracted to some men and everybody else looks and says, what in the world does she see in him? That guy, he's a loser. You know why? It's because she's craving the blessing she never got, and this one person showed them some attention and they are locked on them, even though they recognize they're unhealthy and they're dangerous. They end up easily addicted to people, to substances, because inside they ultimately are still living under the curse. This is what should have happened to David. That's what his life should have looked like. Now we know that he goes on to become a king. We know that he ends up slaying Goliath. We know that he goes on to be a powerful picture in the scripture of Jesus himself. And they go, how did that happen? Where did that change come from? What happened that took him out of the cursed place into a blessed place? How did he get there? I'm going to tell you. He heard God speak to him, and he believed him. And then he took what God said to him, and he spoke it back over his life. He spoke it back over the curses. He spoke it back over the adultery. He spoke it back over everything his brother said about him. He spoke it back over everything his sister said about him. He spoke it back over being born in sin, having no purpose. He spoke it all back over him. You say, how do you know that? Because he wrote it. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139 and listen to what David says as speaking blessing back over cursing. Verse 13, God, you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. It wasn't just the product of two people in a night. It wasn't just the product of something that happened back then. It wasn't just because out of evil. God, you are bigger. You opened the womb. You closed the womb. And if I'm here today, it's because you planned for me to be here today. And here's David speaking blessing. God, you formed my inward parts. Every part of me. You made me. You covered me. The NIV says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God, your hand was there then. No one has the power to create life. God creates life. And if you have it today, it's because he gave it to you. And if you're here today, you have a purpose because he knit you together, not anyone else. Verse 14, David says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not the product of evil. I'm not everything that my siblings said about me. I'm not everything that everybody else said about me. I know that you are marvelous and your works are marvelous, and that my soul knows very well. David knew it. David believed it. He says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes, they saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me when there was yet none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. This is how you break spoken curses. You believe the spoken blessing of God and you speak it over yourself. I don't know what your past is. I don't know where you've come from. But if you didn't get the blessing, maybe you've had cursing spoken over you, I'd encourage you to get alone sometime this week with God. Pray through this Psalm 139 passage and say it out loud to yourself. Speak the blessing to yourself so that you might hear them and shut down every lie. You renounce those lies and you speak the truth and you believe it. This is how you break curses that have been spoken over you. Do you hear the Lord speaking today? Do you see the power of his truth and believing him? You have been made to have life. You've been made to know Jesus and have life. You've been made to walk in purpose and destiny. He made you for that. Let's pray together, Father. We pray against every spoken curse that has been spoken over us, to us, about us today. We renounce those lies that we don't belong, that we're unwanted or unloved, and we choose to believe the truth that you have created us, you made us, you love us, you have a purpose for us, and you're not finished yet. You've destined for us to know you through Jesus, your son. You've destined for us to walk in fullness of love. You've destined for us to walk in the fullness of your spirit. You've made us the place that you dwell, and today we believe all of that. We accept all of that, and we will walk in all of that now as your people. We will walk in your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.